It is, what is today's date? Is it 29th or something? 28th? What is it? 29th, thank you. So that means just a couple more days and it's the new year. And as someone that loves to set goals, I want to talk to you guys about the new year and how you can think about it from a different angle, from a different perspective, through Daniel 3. Whoops. So I want you to be thinking about this message, filtering it through your different areas of life. If you want to go with the five F's or the four F's, you got faith, fitness, finance, family, friends. You can think about it that way, or however you think about the categories of life. But when you think about the fiery trials that Daniel's friends went through, we all go through those, and we went through those in 2024, and we're probably going to go through some in 2025. Some of those trials are because we do it to ourselves, because we struggle and we sin, but some of those trials God allows into our lives, and we get to grow and learn through them. And this is what happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this story. And I want to help you guys to learn about this story from that angle, from the angle of courageousness, connection, and conviction. So I want to encourage you through this message to be courageous in your faith, stay connected to God like they did, but also connected to each other, and finally to stand on your convictions no matter the cost. And most of us know this story probably all the way through, and we know that they were willing to pay the ultimate price, like our Savior did. They were willing to pay with their lives. And in a way, they had their own resurrection because they're so willing to pay for their lives. And when I was listening to the worship this morning, I got this image of those men deciding that they were going to be willing to give up their lives for God. And then we find out later that they survive, right? We all know the story, so there's no spoiler alert here. But that's amazing. That's that type of commitment. That's that type of courage that I want to encourage you with. So we're going to read through the chapter together, not all at one time. That would be boring. I don't want to do that. But I want to break down this passage with you and help you to see some insights that maybe you haven't seen before and some things that God has pointed out to me. So it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So first of all, it's an interesting sized idol if it's in the shape of a person, and even just its size is kind of odd. It's more like an obelisk, if I'm saying that right. And so if you think of the one in Washington, D.C., you might have an image of what this looks like. It's not very known exactly what it looks like. And it's made of maybe pure gold, maybe it's something overlaid in gold, but either way, the amount of gold that's on this 90-foot tall by 9-foot wide statue is worth billions of dollars. So this is no small little trinket that we're talking about here. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. To me, this is a setup for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because these are their co-workers. Right? They are leaders within Babylon, and these are some of their co-workers, and the king is their boss. And now they're getting set up. So in your life, if you think about your context of work, there's often these opportunities for you to be a witness in the workplace, or maybe, unfortunately, sometimes for somebody like me or somebody like you to stumble. And they have this wonderful opportunity to stand up for their faith, to be courageous, and to stand on their convictions and their faith. But I just think about these people are around this idol, and these are your, you know, coworkers. These are the people that these three men knew, and in some of the cases, very well. So it says, the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. In our lives, we have these opportunities to stand before these challenges, these trials, and these temptations, and this is their chance. I wanted to find some sort of a depiction of the statue, and I couldn't find anything, so this is AI's version of what it could look like. I kind of gave it some description. But what's most important to me about this image is just that there's the sheer size of this object and the sheer opulence of this object. And sometimes I think that we get distracted by that. We have these things, these enormous things metaphorically that show up in our lives. And we get distracted by them. We get directed towards them, pulled towards them. Sometimes they seem good. Sometimes they aren't very good. But we get pulled towards them and a little bit overwhelmed by them. And then they overtake us. And all the people around it are the people that are about to kneel before it. Then a herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar, has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Does it ever feel like if you don't do a certain thing, that if you don't give in to the culture, that this is going to be what you're going to experience? You're going to experience all the pain and suffering, right? I think there's times when we just, it would be easier to give in to the culture. It'd be easier to give in to what's happening around us and not stand on our convictions. Once again, this is this perfect setup for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to fall. And I think that there's circumstances for us that seem to be so perfectly set up for us to fall, but when we're connected to God, that does not happen. And as you think about 2024 and all these experiences that you had where you could have chosen a path that wasn't in connection with God, and when you look back at that and you chose to stay connected with Him, praise the Lord. Right? We didn't bow in that moment to that sin or to that idol or to whatever it is that is a distraction from what God has for us. Praise the Lord for that. And if you didn't and we struggled and we stumbled, which we all have, God forgives us for that, and praise the Lord for that too. So one of the things that I was thinking about is, what are the gods in my life? What are the things that are overwhelming to me? Well, entertainment is one of them for me. Sometimes for men and some women, it's sexual content, but there's violence that can be something that's a furnace for us, addictive scrolling, movies, video games, or music with harmful lyrics. These are the things that are the furnaces that we're walking through, that we have to deal with in our culture, we have to deal with in our hearts. For some, it might be drinking or partying, hiding from being social. Some of that, you know, it's okay to be an introvert, but sometimes we get too introverted and we're not connecting with other people, and God wants us to connect. Unethical shortcuts at work, food addictions, these are all temptations around us that we can give into. And once again, if you think back to 2024, I praise the Lord for all the times that you overcame all these things and God gave you the strength to do it. And God gave you the connections with other people, some in this room and some people that aren't in this room, that gave you the strength through Him to overcome these. And of course, there's always trials, and these are trials that God allows. They might be physical pains, like I'm in the middle of another new trial as it relates to physical pain, and it's very frustrating. But in James, God encourages us to consider it pure joy when we face trials, and to press through those trials and praise Him and stand up in conviction of our faith in Him, that He's going to lead us through it. And later we're going to talk about even if faith, that sometimes you don't get to get away from that trial. Sometimes you have to deal with it, and it is what it is, and the suffering happens and the loss happens. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show us what it is to have even faith, even if faith in those circumstances. But let's talk about entertainment for a minute. This was my idol, and to some degree, sometimes can be still. I've talked about, up here, I think I've talked about the doom scrolling. Have you ever, raise your hand if you've ever spent more than 30 minutes in a row not even realizing that you've been scrolling. Right? We can all probably raise our hands. And if you haven't done that, don't. It's dangerous. But back after college, a friend and I had a condo together, and it was in a town called Grover Beach. Anybody heard of Grover Beach? It is a beach town. It's awesome. It's on the central coast of California. We had this condo. It was a blue painted condo. And when you walk in the front door, I got my key, open the front door. To your left is a quarter bath, and then the next is a set of stairs. And I remember walking in the door and then walking up those stairs. And as I got three quarters up the stairs, God started to convict me. And I don't remember His words, so this is going to be kind of made up, this part. But basically, He was saying, "I'm not here for your entertainment." Because my life at that time was, let's go to the beach, let's go surfing, let's go play volleyball, let's watch fun movies, let's play video games, let's just have fun and be entertained. That was my life at the time. I wasn't married, I didn't have any kids, I didn't even have a girlfriend, so it was very hedonistic, and I was just doing my thing to be entertained. I was trying to love God in it, and I was, but I was so overwhelmed with the desire to be entertained that God said, "You know what, not anymore." Three quarters up the stairs, He said something to me, whatever it was, and I remember just starting to cry. I just, he struck me so hard I started to cry. And then I turn the corner once I get up the stairs and go into my bedroom. And the next thing you know, I'm flat on my face on the floor, weeping, completely broken. And he's like, I'm not the God of entertainment. I'm not here to entertain you. And what he wanted was my worship. That was heavy. That was so heavy for me to be. I don't know if you've ever been slapped down by the God of the universe, but it's not comfortable, but it's good. And that was good. And I don't know what your furnace is, but if you're in the middle of one that's, as it relates to a sin like mine was, I pray that God would touch you in a way that he did to me, that he would move in your heart and in your life in such a way that you are moved by that, and you're changed because of it. And whatever that distraction is from him, that you would connect to him instead. So then we move to Daniel 3, 7 and 9, where now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are really going to be on display, if they choose to be. It says, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of all those instruments, all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I don't know what the history is here in terms of if there were a bunch of other Jewish people there, but I'm assuming there were, and these three were the only that seemed to have stood. Whether that's 100% true or not, I don't know, but I think the message still here is sometimes you might be in the midst of Christians and you're the only one that's going to stand. And I hope that's not true, because part of this message is about staying connected with other believers and having the strength through other believers to trust in God and to have conviction about your faith in him. But they had to stand on their own. The other thing that I find interesting about this passage is it says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. So I'm going to pause here for a moment, because if you remember in Daniel 2, Daniel interprets a dream for them for Nebuchadnezzar. And the astrologers couldn't figure it out. So whether or not these astrologers are the same ones, I think they are. They're trying to get back at these three men. And they're not going to. As we all know, they're going to lose this battle too. But sometimes I think people do that to us, right? We have some sort of a success. And we've talked about enemies in the last few weeks or so of messages. And I think sometimes those are the people that come out of the woodwork, and they don't want us to have that success. They don't want us to, they just want to beat us up. And I think that's part of what was going on with these astrologers. And regardless, we may face this at times. And I want to encourage you to just stand on your conviction, like we're going to see here. Verse 10 says, your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears all those instruments, all kinds of music, must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. This is a very real threat, right? This isn't some little tiny furnace, and I'll show you an image of it in a minute, but this is a very real threat. This is a threat of death for those. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar is going to do it, because you got the lion's den story in the future of this book. And kings like this were tyrants in many ways. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the... Let me start again on this one. When I read this, like the fifth time or whatever it was, I heard this really... I'll just read in the tone that I thought I heard. But there were some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve you, your gods, nor worship the image of gold you have set up. They're just building him up to crash these three guys. So what we're going to see here is that the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is going to challenge other people, and it's going to make others uncomfortable, and yours does too at times. And I pray that it does, because the other day I was working out at the gym. I'll just give you an example here. And I was wanting to do a lighter weight. I was going to do like 50 pounds less than what the exercise actually called for. And I look over and there's these two guys. They're going to do the competition level of exercise, which is like 90 pounds more than what I was intending to do. And I look at it and I'm like, gosh darn it, I guess I got to step up. So because of their courage, if you will, to do the extra work, to lift the extra weight, I ended up doing just 20 pounds less than them. My point is, when we see that example of other people, it challenges us and it encourages us to step into that example and step up in our faith. And I hope and I pray that we all can be that example to one another this year. And once again, if you think back to 2024, my bet is that all of you have circumstances from last year or this year, technically, where you stood up in your faith and you had that courage and it inspired somebody else. And you may never know that that's what you did, but I trust that that is what happened and that God used that to benefit him, to glorify him. So what does that mean? Connection to God and others matters, right? And we see these three men together. They're unified together. They're a strand of three cords, right? And they're strong together in their faith. Sometimes your convictions will make you stand out. And you got to be ready for that. And I hope that this year you see that in your life in 2025. You see that your convictions make you stand out like a sore thumb, right? So if everybody was bowed down in that scene, they're up on this thing and they stand out like crazy in comparison because everybody else is bowed down. And I hope that the way that you live your life and the way that I live my life, that we all stand out in our faith and that we have each other to stay strong in the middle of that. So this is a funny thing, but who are your furnace friends? I like alliteration, so we got furnace friends, we've got courage, connection, and conviction. But hopefully that'll help you remember to think about who are those people that you know will stick with you through fire, and how can you be that friend to the person that needs you to be that friend through their trial, through their challenges, so you can stand firm with them. So then we move to Daniel 13, 3 to 15. I can't speak. You know what I'm trying to say. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, when I read this, I wonder, is he trying to give them a second chance? I don't know. Maybe. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Picture these three men hearing their king, their boss, say these things to them. And they're preparing in their hearts to sacrifice their lives for God. And as we step into 2025, I don't know if God's going to ask any of us to be preparing to sacrifice our lives for him physically, but I know he's asking us to sacrifice our lives for him spiritually. And so I want to encourage myself and encourage you to be preparing for that. Prepare for whatever it is that you need to sacrifice for next year. And think about all the things that you did sacrifice from last year that said, I am committing myself to God. I'm committing myself to Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. This is like such an amazing reply. It's such a beautiful reply. It's so much power in it. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. That's a statement. That's a statement of faith. That is absolutely beautiful. And then I think the next part is an even more powerful statement of faith. But even if, do you guys have circumstances in your life where you're praying really hard? Please raise your hand if you have a circumstance in your life that you've been praying for more than a day that God hasn't answered yet. This is everybody, right? Maybe for some of you, that's more than a month, more than a year, maybe more than a decade. If I'm not careful, I'm going to start crying. Because for me, I've been praying for 20 years for many family members to be saved. And I would imagine some of you are in the same boat as me. But I still have faith, even if God hasn't answered yet. I still have faith he will. And you know what? Maybe he won't. Maybe he won't answer that prayer that I've been praying about my body being healed or my mom's lungs being healed or my grandma not being paranoid anymore. Maybe he won't. But even if he doesn't answer, I still know he is listening, that he is responding, and he does care about my cries to him. This year, I was very, very, very frustrated with God about, and my small group knows this, about him not answering my prayers about my business. And one morning, I woke up at 3 in the morning. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced that, right? The 3 in the morning, circling the drain, panic, wake-up call. And I went downstairs, and I couldn't sleep, so I was just praying on the couch. And I remember laying on the couch and just crying out to God desperately, whispering out loud to God on the couch, trying not to wake anybody up in the house. And by the time I was done, it had been 45 minutes of weeping. I was just weeping. But I, at that moment, God was teaching me even if faith, because he didn't answer those prayers. He did not answer those prayers directly. He answered them in a different way. And it was an even if faith. And now I have this different job that I love, and it's and I have coworkers, and I'm way less stressed, and we're doing amazing things. Later, we're going to see that this is what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their even if faith gave them even greater opportunity for him. And that's where I am in my life now. I have even greater opportunity than I could even have imagined when I was on that couch weeping. Verse 18 says, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Absolutely not. Firm. We're willing to die. We're not going to do this. Wow. And I also find it interesting that they replied to him. They're in unity on this. They're all in agreement on this. And I think in our marriages and our friendships, that's so important that we are in unity in our convictions about our faith and where we stand with our faith. This is what they were facing. This is an actual furnace in modern-day Babylon or modern-day Iraq. And it's rather large. We're talking thousands and thousands of bricks would be burned in here, and so or fired in here. And so this is the size of the furnace. This is no little wood-burning stove to heat up your home. This is very serious. So in Daniel 3, 19, 23, we read, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach. Wait, is this a repeat? No, it's not, sorry. And Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, I find it funny, I hope they're wearing their trousers, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. So let's go back to this image for a second. Picture this is what you're facing, 7 times hotter than it ever normally is, and you're standing there fully clothed, bound with your 2 other brothers, your 2 other friends that are willing to sacrifice their life. I was thinking about this, and I thought, did they say anything? Were they like our Savior, and they didn't say anything? I don't know. I'm not sure. We don't know. We can't know. I kind of think that they didn't fight it. Their fight was right there, just in the previous verses, where they said we're not gonna bow. That was their fight, and they won that one. And now they're getting thrown into this furnace. I'm not sure if they'd spoke or not, but what would you do? Right. You may be standing on the edge of that furnace right now. You might be. It could be a trial. It could be some temptations. But you might be on the edge right now of getting thrown in. And God's going to be with you just like he's with these men. I don't know what's going to happen in 2025. Or maybe you got out and you feel like the angel came in and rescued you and your clothes weren't even singed, like we're going to learn right now. But you might be on the edge of it. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Sometimes those around us fall. These soldiers fell. So your impossible is possible for God. This is like my hope for this message for you. Not only that I want you to be courageous, stay connected to God and others, and have conviction about your faith, but that whatever that impossible is that you're thinking about, or that you're going to be facing, that it's possible with God. In the middle of the trial, to stay courageous, right? Whatever that trial is. You might be in the middle of it right now. I've heard we're either going into a crisis, in the middle of a crisis, or coming out of a crisis in our lives. It's an interesting thought, but regardless, we want to remain courageous in them. And even if God doesn't answer, to remain in your faith in him also. So then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't the three men that were tied up? Well, I can't read that. Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. I thought about this. I was like, so is he just chilling? You know, warm in his hands at the kiln as he's watching these people, or he's hoping they get burned up. It's kind of a weird scene, but he jumps up and he's seen into this kiln somehow because he says, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. This is God rescuing. I don't know if this is Jesus or if this is an angel. I don't know, but regardless, God rescues them from their fiery trial. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. Wow. Wow. Right? They are standing on the edge of death. They've said, I'm not going to bow. They get thrown in. An angel shows up. Don't worry about it, guys. I got this. And then the king's like, what in the world is going on here? And calls them back out. And we're going to see a massive shift in Nebuchadnezzar. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, all these people, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. God protects, and he protects us exactly the way that he needs to protect us. And in this case, he fully and utterly and completely protected them. Maybe in other circumstances, it's not fully and completely. Maybe there's a little bit of harm. But God's going to use that, and we can stay faithful to him in that. So God's going to see us through our trials, and he's going to use our courage. So your courage from last year glorified him. It's pretty amazing. And your courage this year will do the same. Your connection with your fellow brothers and sisters will glorify him. And once again, we see that the impossible can be made possible when we stay connected to God. Do you think their faith played any role in this, in God showing up? Right? Big time. So then we have this huge shift in Nebuchadnezzar, and he does one thing that kind of annoys me right here, so I took it out. I'll elaborate on it, but it just made the slide too long. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, the first thing that jumped out to me about this passage is Nebuchadnezzar doesn't praise Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He praises God. And that's what I want from my life. That's what I want from your guys' lives, is that when people see that we're different, that we're other, that we're courageous, we're connected, and that we have our conviction about our love for God, that they praise God for it, not us. That's bad. If I'm getting praised and I am accepting that praise, that could end up being a big problem. So he praises the Lord, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. And then he says, so you have to worship this God, and if you don't, I'm going to cut you up to pieces and destroy your home. So he gets this part, and I'm glad he gets this part, but then he's going back to the same methodology of you have to worship this thing or we're going to slice you up and kill you. So that part, not so keen on. But this shift in him is pretty remarkable. And one would assume that this is a cultural shift where a lot of people are now going to be looking at the God of these men instead of these false gods, this false idol. And who knows? I don't know if that idol that was erected was destroyed or not, but people's worship of it was for sure, at least some of them. And this is what happens, right, when we stand on our convictions. And then this is the bonus, right? This is the icing on the cake. Then he promotes them. They're already in a wonderful position. They already have a high level of authority. Later in Daniel, I think it is, or maybe it's in the beginning, but it talks about how they're like the top of Babylon, excuse me. So God will use our circumstances, and as he moves us out of them, he may end up giving us more responsibility, more opportunity. He may not, but he may. And being ready for that, to be ready for the next moment to be courageous, is what he's providing for us. So your witness may cause others to choose and worship God. You have that, we have that opportunity. You have God-given influence in your workplace, your family, your social groups, and even with strangers. And sometimes a single courageous act or consistent conviction can alter someone's life or communities. How many of you can remember when someone said something to you before you were a Christian that just shifted you, that moved in your heart in such amazing ways? Right? I remember those times. We can be that. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you that in 2025 to be that witness, to be that example. So as you think about 2025, where do you need more courage? Family, fitness, finances, friendship, future. Obviously, in all that, we want to be glorifying God. But where do you need that courage? And look back, too. Look at what God did through you when you were courageous in those areas of life. Number two, how can you stay connected to God and the right people, right? Those furnace friends is what I'm talking about when I say right people. Those are the people that are, not to be too punny here, but on fire for God, right? They're on fire for God. And you know who they are. You know who they are, and my hope is that you are that person. And if you're not, you can be. There's no reason why you can't be. And then what convictions do you need to stand on, regardless of the cost, in every one of those areas of life? I know there's certain areas of my life that if I spend just a moment thinking about them, I don't have even if faith. That's okay, because I'll get there. And so will you, wherever that is for you. You'll get there. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your son, God. Christmas just passed and it was a beautiful thing. God, thank you for sending your son that we can have this even if faith and that we can have that connection. Because of your son, he is the bridge to be able to connect. We're so grateful for that. And God, I pray you would give us the courage this year to step into our faith in greater ways than we even knew were possible. And that you would do amazing things through every single person in this room. And that we would just connect in such a deep way and be that three-stranded cord that does not break. And that you would supernaturally move in our lives, that other people would be convicted of our conviction of our love for you. That they would be moved, God, that we would stand out, we would be those Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegoes that are different. We're just other, and people want to know what's different about us. And we would easily and readily turn and say, it's because of Jesus, it's because of what God has done in my life and what he can do in your life. So Lord, thank you for Daniel 3 and these men and the example that they led for us and for rescuing them, God, just in the amazing way that you did. And thank you for rescuing all of us from our sin. We pray that you would move today in our lives, and thank you for being here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.